John chapter 3, just for a few moments, John chapter 3. I believe that this chapter and the verses within us, they are the most quoted, the most well-known scriptures maybe of the whole Bible, and yet I believe they're less experienced than any other portion of the Bible. What I'm about to read to you is the most life-changing, the most dynamic, the most remarkable message that you have within the pages of the Bible. If men and women on the streets of Limerick tonight knew that we were going to open up the Bible and preach from John chapter 3, if they really knew what we were doing here tonight, I can assure you they would be breaking down the door. They would come and carry their money. They would carry their richest possessions and say, if you give me what you read in John chapter 3, I'll give you everything I have. And of course we know you can't buy anything that God gives. You can't buy a changed life. You can't pay any price for that. All you can do is repent and believe, and you will experience the most dynamic, life-changing experience that anyone can have. Please read with me John chapter 3. I want to preach just for a few minutes on ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. John chapter 3, reading from verse 1. There was a man. What a statement. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. Who said it?
Jesus.
Good. We know who said it.
Amen.
Verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and you knowest not these things? Let's just pray. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that you're a God who changes lives. We do believe, Lord God, this simple message that Christ preached. He said ye must be born again. The Bible is so clear. Christ is so clear. When men and women come unto him, he only had one message, one life-changing message for the adulterer, for the alcoholic, for the prostitute, for the religious man, for the black man, for the white man, for the religious man, for the atheist, ye must be born again. Lord God, I just thank you for the simplicity of this. Lord God, you haven't brought us into religion or tradition. Lord God, you haven't brought us into a deadness, but Lord God, you brought us into a real living experience of knowing you. I'm so glad to be saved tonight. My sins have been washed away. I'm forgiven tonight. Lord God, you've changed me, and I love you, I worship you, I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Ye must be born again.
Amen.
Such a simple statement. When Jesus said to this man, ye must be born again. Notice what it says in verse 1. It says, there was a man. There was a man. You see, Jesus always deals very individually with everyone. He doesn't deal with people en masse. He doesn't just deal with numbers. He just doesn't deal with crowds or people gathered in churches. Our Christ deals with individuals. It's always an individual. When Jesus Christ begins to deal with your life, it's only you and Him. It's not you and a crowd. It's you and Him. I want to show you the dealings of Christ, how Christ speaks to the heart. He knows you. He knows your thoughts. He knows your past. He knows your future. He knows every thought of your mind. He knows every desire of the heart. He knows everything about you. He knows everything about your life. He knows the very depths of your motive. He knows things about you that you don't even know about your own life. You don't know the depths of your motive. You don't know the depths of your own heart. You know, the Bible says in Jeremiah that the heart is desperately wicked. Now hear that. The Bible says man's natural heart is desperately wicked. Is there a good man in the world? No, not according to the Bible. The Bible says there is none good. Amen. There's none good. Oh, but I'm good. No, the Bible says none is good. All have sinned. All have fallen short. All have messed up. And if you ever meet a man who says he's never sinned, he's never fallen short, and he's never messed up, either you're speaking to an angel or you're speaking to a liar, but it has to be one or the other. There aren't any angels walking about the streets of Limerick that you and I can see tonight. I assure you, I believe in angels. I believe in the power of God. But if a man tells me he's never sinned, he's good, then he's a liar. Either God's a liar or he's a liar. Who am I going to believe? The Bible says none is good, none is righteous, none feareth God, none seeks after God. That is man's natural state. And notice this, it says there was a man who came to Jesus by night. You notice how he came by night. Now this is a man who thinks he's good. This man actually thought he was righteous. The Bible says he was a Pharisee. That means he knew the Bible. That means he knew all the commandments. That means that he endeavored to do everything that was righteous and good. He never stole. He never used God's name in vain. He didn't steal things. He didn't commit murder. He wasn't committing adultery. Here he is, a man, and he looks absolutely squeaky clean. If you met him tonight, you would say, surely this is a good man, or here's a well-living man, or here's a well-dressed man. I'm going to tell you, when you stand before Christ, none is righteous. Right. You see, who do you compare yourself to? You see, if you'll always find someone in Limerick, if you compare yourself to him, well, I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good compared to them. But I'm telling you, when Christ deals with you, nobody is holy. He is absolutely perfect. He is absolutely righteous. He is absolutely holy. His every motive is pure, absolutely spotless and clean. He is a holy God. Do you know what the angels say in heaven? The Bible tells us they don't stand in heaven. The cherubims and the angels and the archangels stand and worship in awe of Christ. Do you know what they're singing? They're not singing, "You are love, love, love." They don't sing about that. They're not singing, "Oh, you're merciful," or "You're gracious." Do you know what they sing? They sing, "Holy, holy, holy." You're talking about angels who have never sinned. You're talking about angels who stand in the presence of God. Do you know that the cherubims, they have their wings, they cover their eyes because they can hardly look in the holiness of God. They cover their feet because nobody is holy or walks holy before God. They cover themselves because to look on His absolute perfect holiness is a fearful thing. He is absolutely perfect. And look at Christ. This religious man comes onto him. He's a Pharisee. He actually thinks he's good. Compared to others, he thinks he's doing pretty well. He'll make heaven when he dies. Well, after all, haven't we all sinned? We've all fallen short in some area. Surely I'll be okay when I die. It actually says as well in verse 1 that he was a ruler of the Jews. He's a man with a reputation reputation. He's a man with a position. He's a man with an aspect, a religious mentality, who thinks he's good. But it actually says in verse 2, the same came to Jesus by night. Why did he come by night? He was scared of being seen. You see, many people want Christ, but they don't want to be seen. It's an issue of pride. I want Christ desperately, as long as the neighbor doesn't see. I would do anything to have this, as long as I don't need to give up something I like. I would do, and if Jesus is real, if he is the Son of God, I would do anything. Would you? Would you? If he reveals himself as the God, the Creator, the one who died for you on the cross, if he really reveals himself to you, would you really forsake all and follow him? Or would you rather live your life for a few years here, enjoy what you're going to enjoy in Limerick, and then die and go into the grave and spend an eternity paying the consequence for that? See, this is how people think about life. They think of now. That's man's natural state. I think of now. Maybe every now and again we get a nervous twitch and we go, what's going to happen to me when I die? Or what if there is a God? Or I'm sure there's something there. And then you get carried off with your life, living your life. This city is filled with it, isn't it? Many people in this city have said, I'm sure there's a God. Do you know what they're doing tonight? They're in the bars drinking, having a laugh. They're giving themselves a shot of alcohol. They're going to the confessional, do their little bit of confession. Father, I'm sorry. You're forgiven. Right. They walk out, what are they going to do? They'll go and do it that night before they go to bed. Father, I'm sorry I lied today. Well, you're forgiven. They go out before, I tell you, before they get in the car, they're lying, they're blaspheming, they're cursing, they're getting angry, they're bitter, they're jealous, they're annoyed. Yes. Where's God? God is not in their life.
Amen.
It's religion, it's a form of religion. That is dead. That is dead. The Bible says there is a way that seems right unto man. Listen to me. There is a way and it seems. Men go, I am sure I'm on the right way. I'm sure this leads in the right way. Well, I'll just keep walking and hope for the best. You're in trouble.
Right.
You're in trouble. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end of it's destruction. That's what the Bible says. There's a way that you look and go, I'm sure it's okay. Don't see any bumps in it. Can't see that far down the road. Well, sure, it's years. I don't need to worry about anything today or tomorrow morning. I'll wake up in the morning. I'll be fine tomorrow. But they can't see the end of it. The Bible says there's a way that seems right in their own eyes. How long have you been around? A few years. What do we know of life, eternity, eternity past and eternity future? What do we know of these things? If we rely on ourselves, we'll get in trouble. But I do know one who knows the way, who knows the right way. Look at Jesus. He's confronted with this religious man, a ruler, a Pharisee, a man who thinks he's pretty good, a man who's hoping everything will be all right. And what does Jesus say to this man? He comes knocking at night. I like a word. You see, I've been watching you, Jesus. I believe you're a good man. Is that all? Remember the little lady we dealt with on Sunday, at the well in Samaria?
Yeah.
And Jesus is there waiting on her coming. And as she approaches the well, she starts talking to him. And first, all he is a Jew. You Jews and us, we don't get on, do we? Culturally, we're divided. We think differently. There's a big division between the Jews and the Samaritans. Jesus is a Jew. And she starts at the beginning, she thinks he's just a Jew. Then she goes, he's a good Jew. He's sitting talking to me. There's something different about him. Now, if ever I met a good Jew, he's a good Jew.
Yes.
And as she begins to talk, and he begins to deal with her heart and reveal things, she says, you're a prophet. You know things that no man naturally can know. You're probing my heart. As she sat there talking to him, she goes, my heart is being probed. You're a prophet.
Yeah, amen.
By the end of the conversation, saying, you're the Messiah. You're the one the Bible spoke about all through the ages. You're God's son. You're the savior of the world. In one conversation, she was taken from thinking that he was just a good man to going, you're the Messiah and I want my whole life to be lived for you. One conversation at a well. Look at this man here. He comes to Jesus, the real Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, the Jesus the church talks about. And very few live. You see, this man knew about Jesus. He'd come to Jesus. I'd like to talk to you. You're a good man. None's good. What do you know about me? He says, you're a good man, I've been watching you. I believe the miracles you do are of God. They're not fake miracles, they're not counterfeit. It's real. I have seen lives changed and I cannot explain it. I see people who are alcoholics and they met you and they're changed. I've met people who were once blind and they couldn't walk from birth and now they're healed and I cannot explain it. I know God is with you. I see the mark of God. God has to be with you. You must be a teacher sent from God. You must be a teacher. And I'm listening to you and I'm here to talk to you. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with them. What does Jesus answer to this? I mean, this man is laying it on thick, isn't he? You're a good man. You're a great teacher. You're doing real miracles. And I'm here tonight. I think if I saw the miracles that Jesus was doing, I would have been there at lunchtime, eh? Yeah. I'd have been there first thing in the morning. I wouldn't have been sneaking in there. But you know what religion does? It binds you. It causes pride in your heart. You can have God, but yet you're self-preserved. What is Jesus going to say to this man? Verse 3 says, verily, verily, I say, it doesn't get into religious discussion. He doesn't start giving him a whole expose of the Bible. Or let me tell you what Ecclesiastes means. Or Exodus. Or let me give you a lot of religious do's and don'ts. Or let me teach you how to be very moral and good. Or let me teach you how to be a better man. Or a more religious man. Let me give you all this teaching. He doesn't say that. He cuts to the chase.
Yeah.
Do you like that? I always love people who speak their mind.
Yes.
You know, don't mess me around. Just say what you're going to say. Tell me it. Give me it between the eyes. Whether I like it or not, at least I can have it like that. See, Christ was like that. He cut through the religion of his day. Who was it who tried to kill him? All the atheists? No.
No.
Was it all the pagan idolaters? No. Was it all the sinners on the streets? Maybe it was all the alcoholics in Jerusalem trying to kill him. No. Who was it? The most religious people in that city. It was the priests. And it was the scribes. And it was the Sadducees. And it was men who were very academic and educated. And they wore all their gowns. And they said their long prayers. And they preached their sermons. And they hated him. You know why? Because he exposed the sinfulness of their heart. He exposed their religion was nothing. Here they are going, I have lived 40 years in this. And Christ comes in, it's nothing. Now if a man has lived a certain way for many years and you tell him it's nothing, he's either going to get very happy or very mad.
Yeah.
And not right.
Yeah.
You see, Christ will either make you mad or very glad. There is no other option.
Yes.
And this man, here he is, stands the embodiment of morality. What does Christ say to him? Look at verse 3. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again. See how he cuts straight to the chase. He says, do you know what you need, mister? Do you know what you need, sir? You need to be born again.
Yeah.
End of sermon.
Amen.
I've got an answer for you, sir. I know exactly what your problem is. You need to be born again.
Yeah.
Oh no, but I'm looking for something. You must be born again.
Amen.
Well, could you give me something to do? You must be born again.
Amen.
But that's something God does. I want to do something. You must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There's no other way. There's no second option. There's no third option. There's no fourth option. There's not another plan. You need to be born again. And if you're not born again, what does born again mean? It means, the actual word in the Greek, it means to be born from above. Isn't that beautiful? I am born from above. In other words, I have had an experience of being born from heaven.
Yeah.
Do you know what this man Nicodemus said? Look at it, verse 4. Nicodemus saith on them, how can a man be born when he's old? What did Christ preach? Christ's shortest sermon.
Yeah.
You must be born again. If you're not born again, you won't get into the kingdom of heaven. Don't talk to me about religion, good works, or anything else. You're lost.
Mm.
You're on your way to hell.
Mm-hmm.
And the man says, hold on. Born again. Born a second time. Born spiritually. How can a man? Isn't this what people say in the streets today?
Yeah.
You say, you must be born again. What?
Yeah.
That's what this man done. He knew all the religion. He says, what do you mean born again? He says, how can a man, I'm old now, I've lived a few years. How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born a second time? You're talking about a second birth, a born again experience. How do I do that? I'm an old man. Jesus, what are you speaking about? He says, can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? This is a man, this is all he had to say to Jesus. Notice Jesus didn't make it any simpler, did he? Now, if I tell him he's going to be born again, he won't understand me. There's nothing more simple than being told you must be born again.
Yeah.
Nothing more simple. There's nothing more Christ-like. It wasn't an American evangelist who invented the term born again.
Yeah.
Neither was it some preacher from Europe. Jesus said you must be born again. And if you're not born again, you're lost.
Yeah, amen.
But we can walk into churches in this city and all across this land and all across Europe and all across our world. We will find multitudes, most of the churches in our day. And you walk in and say, what about being born again? Don't you worry about that. Don't you worry about that. Do you know my mother got told that? When she was younger, when she was a teenager. And she started to feel convicted. And she started going, I need to know God. And she went to the local minister. She went and spoke to him and said, I need to speak to you. I'm feeling bad about my sin. I'm starting to feel uneasy. I know I'm not right with God. Do you know what he said? He says, don't you worry about that. You'll be okay. Just you go on home. You'll be just fine. Just keep coming to church. Just keep being good. Say your prayers. You'll be just fine. Leave that life. Jesus said, you must be born again. You must be born again. You must be saved. There is no other way. This is Christianity. This is what the Bible teaches. And you know, this man says, I don't know what you're talking about. He's a very educated man, very religious man. Do you know what Paul the Apostle writes? He says, not many wise get into the kingdom. He says, God has chosen the foolish. I'm in.
Amen.
He says, God has chosen the despised. I'm in.
Amen.
He's chosen them. He says, but not many like Paul the Apostle got in. Do you know why? They think they know it all. I'm glad that this salvation is for poor sinners going, my life isn't all together. I don't have it. I don't have it all together. I can't manage.
Amen.
Either God's real or he's not real. And I'm in a Christ and I need him. I need a real God in my life. Not a bit of religion. Not an injection of religion. And that's what we get in our world. Here's your little shot for the day. You'll be okay. Keep going to church. No, you must be born again. When Christ comes into your life and he changes you. And you can never be the same again. Pat was saying there about 3 years ago. I'll never forget that morning. I'm a witness. I'm there. I'm in my seat and I'm looking at him. And he's standing in front of his church, and I am watching in front of my eyes, 3 minutes, and he's a changed man.
Amen. Hallelujah.
The man who walked up isn't the man who left that church that morning. A radical changed man.
Hallelujah.
But Pat, maybe it wears off after a few weeks.
Oh, joy in the Lord. Hallelujah.
Or maybe it's just adding Jesus to everything else. Nuala, maybe he's the same man, but he's just added a bit of head knowledge.
Well, it's completely different, man, I can assure you.
Do you know what this second birth is? You must be born. You've been born physically, now you need born spiritually.
Yeah.
It's a second birth. Just as you're born physically, ta-da! All these years later, here I am. You need a spiritual birth.
Hallelujah.
You need to be born again. You need an experience with Christ where your spiritual life begins. Oh, but I grew up in church. No, that won't do it.
Yeah.
You need a beginning point where you say, I've been born again. Something has been birthed within me. I am now in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And Jesus is real.
Yes.
And Jesus has changed my heart.
Amen.
Let's just stand together. Oh, we praise you. We bless you. We worship you. We love you tonight, Lord Jesus. We magnify you. Jesus is so real. I tell you, tonight if you need him, reach out and touch him. The Bible says, if you seek him with all of your heart, you shall find him. The Bible says, if you turn from your sin, if you cry unto him, he will save you. He'll forgive you. If you ask him to come into your life, he'll come in and change you. The Bible is real. The Bible is true. Christ isn't a liar. He says, if you ask me, I'll do it. I'll change your heart. I'll change your life. I'll turn your whole life upside down. I'll put you on your feet again. I'll give you new eyes, new ears, a new heart. I'll give you a changed life. All you need to do is put faith in Jesus Christ. You must be born again. He says, if you allow me, I will change your heart. I will change your life and I'll forgive you. You'll be a new person, changed by the power of God.
Hallelujah.